Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading MRT for August 16th, 2023. MISD votes to put $1.415 billion referendum on ballot. By Stuart Doreen, staff writer, the Midland ISD voted Tuesday evening to put a $1.415 billion referendum on the November 7th ballot. District leaders voted 6-1 to make the recommendation of the Midland ISD Bond Planning Committee and create the one proposition that will address the building of two new high schools at $985.2 million, middle school improvements at $119 million, safety, security, and accessibility, $50.4 million, improvement to current facilities, deferred maintenance, $207.5 million, a new elementary school in Northeast Midland at $53.3 million. Midland ISD has previously announced the recommended bond budget has been cut from $1.678 billion, a reduction of $263 million. The previous recommendation also showed two propositions instead of one. The referendum approved by the Midland ISD school is more than two times greater than the most expensive tax election in Midland history, the $569 million bond referendum voted down in 2019. If the $1.415 billion bond referendum is passed, it would be the eighth largest in the history of the state, according to the numbers provided by Midland ISD. The largest bond approval by Midland voters has been a $163 million Midland ISD bond in 2012. Using a conservative interest rate, the total principal and interest over a 30-year period is $2.29 billion, according to the district. The district does intend to continue paying down the debt as quickly as possible to save taxpayers as much as possible, said Tucker Durham, the future chief financial officer of the district. A successful bond could mean an increase in the state tax rate of 21.75 cents per $100,000 valuation, according to Midland ISD. The signature piece of this bond will be the two Class 6A high schools, the updated blueprint for these campuses, which will be located at the current Ranchland Hills Golf Course and south of Scarborough Sports Complex, respectively, emphasizes a course size of 4,200 students while allowing for a flexible phased expansion of classrooms designed for 3,800 students, according to the district. The new Midland High School and Legacy High School will replace the current 74-year-old and 62-year-old high school and facilities. It also allows for the grade reconfiguration that the school district has sought for years. High school campuses would house students in grades 9 through 12, middle school 6 through 8, and elementary schools pre-K through 6th. Important election dates. October 10th is the last day to register to vote. October 23rd is the first day of 2 weeks of early voting. October 27th, last day to apply for a ballot by mail. November 3rd, last day of early voting. November 7th, election day and last day to receive ballot by mail. Tax notes. Taxpayers over 65 can have their tax levy frozen when an over 65 exemption is granted, according to the school district. A bond impacts the interest and sinking INS tax rate. The interest and sinking rate, unlike the maintenance and operations rate, is not impacted by recapture. Two released from hospital after chemical spill in Southwest Midland County by Mercedes Cordero, staff writer. Two people have been released from Midland Memorial Hospital after Monday's hydrochloride acid spill in Southwest Midland County. Midland County office officials reported Monday about 7 p.m. that multiple agencies were working on the chemical spill. One person was transported by EMS and a second was taken to Midland Memorial Hospital by personal vehicle. Officials evacuated homes and businesses downwind for a half a mile from the intersection. At about 10:20 p.m., when the pH in the air was at a safe level, those evacuated were able to return to their homes, according to the county officials. As far as changes go, our environmental unit is monitoring true situation. But right now, there aren't any criminal changes pending, a Midland County spokesperson told the Midland Reporter-Telegram via email. They stated that there's some things that aren't our jurisdiction, and the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, or TCEQ, will look into it. AC outages reported at 25 Fort Worth schools amid scorching heat, by Sarah Bahari, the Dallas Morning News. Air conditioning outages continued to plague Fort Worth public schools Tuesday as maintenance crews scrambled to repair the aging systems straining under the relentless heat wave. Nearly 100 classrooms at 25 campuses reported problems Monday, the first day of school year. In a statement, Fort Worth ISD said affected students and staff are moved to areas within school buildings with working air conditioning units. We want to reassure you that we are treating this matter with the utmost urgency, the statement said. We want to emphasize that the well-being of our students and staff is our primary concern. North Texas has recorded 36 days of at least 100 degrees, more than typical summer, which sees roughly 20 days with 100-degree temperatures. A streak of 21 consecutive 100 days is expected to end Tuesday, with the high only forecast to reach 96 degrees. Dangerous heat is expected to return Thursday, however, with a high of 110 degrees. Fort Worth's outages hit elementary, middle, and high schools across the city, largely at older campuses. Earlier this year, Fort Worth School Board trustees approved roughly $11 million to replace heating and air conditioning units on 22 campuses. City manager reacts to dog's death at Midland Animal Shelter, by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. New city manager Tommy Gonzalez said the city needs to emphasize the need for microchipping and put more resources into areas to create more effective outcomes. Gonzalez talked with a reporter Telegram after reports surfaced that a dog, Luna, was euthanized at the Midland Animal Shelter this weekend prior to its owner being able to pick it up. Gonzalez said he personally met with the owner for around an hour on Monday and then said this animal death, the first on his watch as city manager, provides an opportunity for the city to stress the need for residents to microchip their animals and for the city to strengthen processes at departments across the city. What happened and the microchipping message? Gonzalez told the reporter Telegram that the dog named Luna was brought in on Friday. He said a veterinarian said it appeared healthy and the animal was dewormed and vaccinated. The animal was also checked for a microchip but did not have one. Gonzalez said the dog was exposed to a respiratory illness inside the shelter and was then put down. I think that the pet owner was very distraught because it happened so quickly, Gonzalez said. City staff met with the owner, and then Gonzalez, along with the city secretary, also met with the owner. She told that the city will push for more microchipping across the community, and she was so very strengthened by that. I think she felt that we were listening, Gonzalez said, that if her animal had been microchipped, Luna would have been immediately given back to the owner, or at least contacted. And that's what is really heartbreaking. And so I apologized to her for several times, and I told her we took responsibility. And so we really are going to push for more microchipping and really look at putting more money in the budget for microchipping. Coincidentally, Fix West Texas also posted on its Facebook page on Monday night, "Let Luna be the reason you get all of your pets microchipped this month." State law requires shelters to scan all intakes, Fix West Texas stated in a post. While this may or may not have saved her life, it could have saved your dog's life. Fix West Texas also posted microchips will be pay what you can afford all month for those mentioning in memory of Luna. You get a free lifetime registration. It's registered to you and Fix West Texas. That way, if your pet is locked up, we can help you contact them and bail them out. About processes, Luna's death is at least the third that has made its rounds on social media since June. There was a death of a dog in the animal control vehicle and a death at the shelter during the intake processes, according to reports. Those deaths and the dismissal of former animal services manager Ty Coleman were reasons residents had shown up at Midland City Council meetings and lashed out at city leaders and staff. Luna's death is the first under new city management and under the new Animal Services Manager, Melissa Griffin Hobson. Gonzalez said Luna's death will be a call to action to put in place stronger protocols and better policies so employees can take care of things that happen and the 12 events that those actions can trigger. When I talked to staff this morning, they were very distraught, very upset, and very concerned, Gonzalez said. And I listened to them and I told them, hold on a second, this is where I'm coming from. I want to make sure that you have the resources that you need. I want to make sure that you know that I know y'all have taken it on the chin, and I need to take one for you. He said the city will provide more resources where they are needed and then call for better outcomes. No one wants to do that. A bad job out here at shelter. No one wants to do a bad job at the city, Gonzalez said. And so that's the delicate piece of how that's communicated, because our folks are the ones doing the day-to-day, and they need to understand where I'm coming from. They need to understand the council is coming from, and quite frankly, they need to have the resources to show for it as well. The city of Midland opened its 18,400-square-foot facility in October of 2021 in the Animal Services Division. A $2.323 million budget is an increase of 31% compared to previous fiscal year and jump of $1 million for 75% compared to fiscal year 2019, according to animal services budgets provided by the city. That includes an increase in base salaries for animal services employees from $523,100 in fiscal year 2019 to $991,402 this year, an increase of 89%, according to a previous Reporter Telegram article. Gonzalez told the Reporter Telegram on Tuesday that the city has increased the amount it will pay to fill its full-time veterinarian position and that he is working to respond to comments from staff about the need for more vehicles with properly working AC units for the animals. He also said Griffin Hobson will be checking and double-checking the processes. Good leadership is listening to the customers, which is the council and the community, and listening to the people that actually do the work, which are the people that I'm out here with today, Gonzalez said, and then being able to get them the resources that they need, and then being able to report and communicate effectively how we're doing and what we're doing, because it's not enough in today's time and where we live today. And with social media and with just information flow, it's not enough to do the work. You have to communicate how you're doing it. You also have to say what you're doing next. County votes to redesignate library books. Commissioner's Court also decides to, in partnership with American Library Association, by Ben Schaefer, staff writer. The Midland County leaders continued their decision of Midland County Public Library policies and canceled the county's partnership with the American Library Association on Monday. The public discussion about the library's policies started in February when county commissioners brought attention to books they deemed were obscene for children to read in the children and young adult sections. County Commissioner, specifically Precinct 4 Commissioner Diane Anderson, and County Judge Terry Johnson led an effort to move content deemed obscene from the children and young adult section into sections labeled for adults. On Monday, Anderson read from a letter sent by State Senator Kevin Sparks, Republican Midland, to the Midland County Commissioner's Court. Multiple local governments in the state of Texas have taken action to protect children from being exposed to explicit content at their public libraries. A part of the letter reads, "These policies are consistent with Texas state laws regarding obscenity and the exposure of minors to harmful material. I would like to express my support of this policy, and I strongly encourage Midland County to consider taking similar action to protect minors from material that is offensive or inappropriate for their age group." Anderson then discussed House Bill 900, which was passed in the 88th Texas legislative session. The bill also called the restricting explicit and adult-designated educational resources bill relates to the regulation of books in Texas public school libraries. Section 33.021 of the bill, with the heading Library Standards, reads sexually explicit material. Means any communication, language, or material, including a written description, photographic image, video image, or audio file, excluding library material directly related to required curriculum that describes or portrays sexual content as defined by Section 43.25 Penal Code in a patently offensive way, as defined by Section 43.21 Penal Code. Precinct 4 Commissioner Scott Ramsey said he's only met one Midlander that thought making changes to Midland public libraries was a good idea. The other 1,000 people I've talked to said no way. Ramsey said county personnel does not have the education or training to direct the library to classify books a certain way. We'd have to hire hundreds of people to do this, and why would we do something like that? We'd be wrong, he said. Ramsey wondered who would police the material in the library and deem certain books obscene or offensive. It is my understanding that the library policies over the past decades and those materials, harmful materials, do not exist in our library. Who is going to vet this policy? Who is the panel? Who is the all-knowing one that's going to say, oh, this book in here had a curse word in it, this book in here that had a certain amount of violence in it? Who is going to say that is the book we're going to take out? Anderson said she was following the example set by state legislators and conservative community standards in wanting to redesignate certain books from children's sections to adult sections. Sections 43.24 of the Texas Penal Code, which relates to the sale, distribution, or display of harmful materials to minors, defines harmful material as material who dominant theme make taken as a whole appeals to prurient interest of a minor in sex, nudity, or excretion is patently offensive to prevailing standards in the adult community as a whole with respect to what is suitable for minors and is utterly without redeeming social value for minors. Johnson said the Midland Public Library should move books deemed inappropriate for children into adult sections of the library. I've had hundreds of people that want to see this come to fruition, and I don't think we have to hire hundreds of people to deal with that. I think we allow the public, the community standards that exist here in Midland, Texas, and to decide what they want in the library and what they don't want in their library, he said. Anderson made the motion that Debbie Garza, Director of Libraries for Midland County, is directed to move obscene material from the children's section of the library to the adult section immediately upon the adoption of this policy. Johnson and Anderson voted for it, Ramsey opposed, and Sanchez and Somers abstained, allowing the agenda items to pass. In addition, the county withdrew from the American Library Association on Monday. Anderson said it was because of the American Libraries Association president, Emily Drabinski, who, in celebration of her election as ALA president on April 13th of last year, described herself as a Marxist in a sense. Deleted tweet. Former Greenwood resident makes best barbecue joint list by Morgan Taylor Thomas, staff writer. For some Texans, barbecuing is a birthright. Passed down from generation to generation, many joints throughout the Lone Star State hold rich family history backed by decade-old recipes and simplistic vibes. However, Stephen Rossler wasn't born into the industry. Instead, he found peace in the art of smoking meat after serving several hours in the Middle East. Barbecuing was more so something for me, therapeutic-wise, to do, battle all my demons from Afghanistan and Iraq, Rossler admitted. A Greenwood native, Rossler also loved to cook. When he enlisted the Army in 2000 after graduating high school, he wanted to join as a cook, but the offer of living in Hawaii felt too good for the young West Texan to pass up. During his time in the military, the staff sergeant was awarded the Bronze Star Medal with Valor for his heroic efforts during a tour in Afghanistan, where he risked his own life by running into a burning vehicle to save his troops. After losing not only his colleagues but his friends in the IED attack, Rossler needed to find a way to maintain his emotional and mental health. In 2016, Rossler's Blue Cord Barbecue opened, named after the light blue cord worn by Army men on the front lines during the Korean War. Rossler's Blue Cord Barbecue can be found in Harker Heights, just 16 miles north of Austin. When he retired in 2021, Rossler decided his time in Central Texas didn't need to come to an end just yet. He found a home at Fort Hood, and with a lifetime already completed in Greenwood, Rossler and his wife, Kristen, a Midland native, knew the grassy, hilly area was where they needed to be. They're in the armpit of Texas, where there's not a whole lot of good barbecue. Rossler's Blue Cord Barbecue has thrived, being named to Texas Monthly's top 25 list shows. The effort and dedication Rossler has put into the food truck since starting 7 years ago. "Stay humble and keep thriving" in our motto, Rossler said. "We've had so many people, whether they've been in the military or they're just small time, reach out and say, 'Stephen, thank you for being an inspiration.'" So it's just really cool to be a role model for people. We're just very honored to not only to represent our hometown of Midland and Greenwood, but also our new hometown of Harker Heights. Check out www.rosslersbluecordbarbecue.com for more information about Stephen and his story. MCSO seeks information on suspects involved in failed ATM theft, by Mercedes Cordero, staff writer. Midland Crime Stoppers is offering a $1,000 cash reward for any information that leads to an arrest of two suspects that attempted to steal an ATM. On May 1st, about 1:47 a.m., Midland County Sheriff's Office deputies responded to an accident with injuries involving a 2022 Silver Dodge Ram pickup on North County Road 1140 and Loop 250. Upon arrival, the driver of the vehicle fled the scene, and deputies observed a WTNB ATM at the scene of the accident, Midland Crime Stoppers shared on Facebook. During the investigations, deputies learned that the two suspects attempted to take the ATM from the drive-thru at the Uncle's convenience store. The suspects wrapped chains around the ATM and attempted to drag it away, causing the suspects to crash in the field across the street. If a person has information about the case, call the hotline or go to www.694tips.com or use the mobile app P3Tips. A person could earn a $1,000 cash reward if the tip leads to the suspect's arrest. No caller ID is ever used, and all callers will remain anonymous. Produce Water Society Summit speakers urge beneficial reuse, by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Those attending the Produced Water Society's Permian Basin Summits have heard the best practices in water management and a rising number of presentations on technologies advancing produced water recycling and reuse. In recent years, the topic of beneficial reuse of produced water outside the oil industry has been rising to the top of the radar, but this year, attendees got a wake-up call about the increasing urgency of advancing that beneficial reuse. "We live in an arid region, and we're putting precious water downhole, which is stupid," said Mike Hightower, director of the New Mexico Produced Water Research Consortium. "This region is in the 100th year of a 300-year arid cycle," as he warned. "West Texas and eastern New Mexico cannot last another 30 years of this. There is no other water source. Permian Basin residents won't survive in this part of the country and do what we need to do to provide for U.S. energy security unless we address produced water and beneficial reuse," he stated. "The goal is to reduce or eliminate the use of fresh water in oil and gas operations and create new supplies," he said. And he added he didn't care if those living in New York or San Francisco or Boston or Washington, D.C. have to pay 5 cents more for energy if it ensures future water supplies for Permian Basin children. Technology is reaching the point that it can help the industry address the various constituents in produced water and make it safe for beneficial reuse, he said. He predicted one thing that will incentivize the recycling and beneficial reuse of produced water is the rising cost of disposing of it, forecasting it will rise to $1 to $1.25 per barrel by 2025, or 4% of the price of a barrel of oil. We have to provide new water for economic development and ensure cost-effective treatment and public and environmental safety, Hightower said. We're at the point where we have to row together. We all need to pull together, and I think we can. Beneficial reuse is one of the most noble efforts in the industry, and undertaking Robert Crane, Executive Vice President of Texas Pacific Water Resources, told the gathering as he opened the first day of the conference. Technology and a commercial model that works are the paths to beneficial reuse, he said. Pricing must be economic. There must be a reliable and repeatable discharge conduit, and landowners must receive compensation to offset the loss of disposable royalties, Crane said. Beneficial reuse can also displace water that would otherwise be destined for injection into shallow formations, turning a waste product into a resource. To think, he marveled, we're at the forefront of designing something that will solve a functionality problem while providing a new resource. Crane said it is so important to gather the discuss water-related issues, especially in the Permian Basin, where oil production is expected to plateau at 7.5 million barrels a day by 2029. Along with that crude, he said the region will produce an additional 6 million to 7 million barrels of water per day through 2030. Even if oil and gas producers used only produced water in their operations, 40 to 60% would still have to be injected into disposal wells. Recycling of produced water has been a tremendous success story, Crane said, but operators and researching the limits of what can be done. Still, he said, the increase in recycling of produced water is having a positive impact on the area's environment. Craig said that 65% decrease in injection volumes has led to a 35% decrease in seismic events. As the world undergoes what Crane called the energy expansion, there will be a lot of misconceptions, a lot of miscommunication. But as common sense takes hold and people see the energy expansion, they will come to understand what we're doing. There will still be some who demonize the industry, but continue to innovate, continue to think outside the box, continue to roll the dice. Southwest strikes deal with 19,000 workers for new contract by Alexa Scores, the Dallas Morning News. Southwest Airlines and the union representing its ground workers have reached a tentative agreement proposing raises, wages, and benefit improvements. After 2 years of negotiations, Transport Workers Union Local 555, which represents the 19,000 workers in ramp operations, provisioning, and freight at Southwest, reached an agreement on August 9th with a Dallas-based carrier. If ratified, the contract would bring on new wages, up to 12 weeks of parental leave, and more. Union members will vote beginning September 8th to September 20th. Planes don't take off without us, said Randy Barnes, president of the TWU Local 555, in a release. While working in extreme weather and face-to-face with customers, our members load and unload luggage, supply snacks and beverages to the aircraft, and accept and ship freight. They're the last people passengers see when they board planes and the first people they see when they arrive at their destination. Adam Carlisle, Vice President of Labor Relations at Southwest, said ground workers serve a valuable role in customer experience. The union representing ground workers was critical of Southwest during operational troubles last summer, saying that poor planning and poor treatment of workers were behind some problems with cancellations and delays. The union again went after the company after the December meltdown when Southwest canceled more than 17,000 flights during the holidays, again blaming the carrier for failing to invest in the tools needed to keep planes running on time. I'm pleased with the work by both parties to reach a tentative agreement that would offer employees well-deserved compensation increases and give Southwest needed efficiencies to keep us competitive, Carlisle said in a statement. Southwest is still in contract negotiations with its flight attendants and pilots. In July, the carrier reached an agreement with its mechanics to extend their contract.
£8 per pound. Food Club Light Chunk Tuna is water-packed at 5 ounces. It's 88 cents per can. Charmin Bath Tissue Select Super Mega or 9 Mega Rolls is 10-88 per package. Tide Simply Laundry Detergent is $8.98 per bottle. On the exclusive digital coupons, Peyton Slice Bacon is 12-ounce package is $1.99. With digital coupon, there's a limit of 4. Sale price on the Dole Salad Bowls is, with the digital coupon, a limit of 4, $3.49 each. Price sale of Eggos, they're either $2.99 per or 2 for $5. There is a limit of 4 with the digital coupon. Eggo pancakes or waffles. American Beauty Pasta, sale price is 99 cents. With the digital coupon, there's a limit of 4. Prego Pasta Sauce, sale price $1.99 per jar. With the digital coupon, there's a limit of 4. On Bush Pinto Beans, a select group, Bush's Best Beans, sale price 99 cents per can. With the digital coupon, limit 4. More items on the first page. Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce assorted is $3.98 per bottle. Louisiana hot sauce, straight from Tabasco country, is $1.88. McElhenney's Tabasco sauce is $1.88. Atkins shakes or snacks, select varieties, 4-count shakes or 4 to 8-count snacks is $6.99 per package. Ben's Original Ready Rice Select Varieties is 2 for 5. Land of Frost Deli Shaved Lunch Meat Select Varieties is $3.49. Ballpark Meat Franks Regular or Bun Size are $2.98 per 15-ounce package. Jimmy Dean Sausage Assorted is 1 pound, $4.99 per pound. Beginning with the second page, Night Hawk Dinners Select Varieties, 2 for $7. Marie Callender Bowls Select Varieties, 2 for $6. Chung's Asian Appetizers Select Varieties are 2 for $7. Gordon's Fish Select Varieties, Filet Sticks or Shrimp is $6.48 per box. Hostess Snacks Select Varieties are $3.48 per package. Starbucks Coffee Select Varieties, 10-count K-Cups or the 12-ounce bags are $8.88. Dawn Dish Detergent Select Varieties are $2 for $6. Continuing on the second page. Food Club Peanut Butter, Creamy or Crunchy, $1.48 per jar. Food Club Grape Jelly is $2.88 per jar. Dole Fruit Cups Assorted 4-pack, 2 for $5. Fritos, Cheetos, and Cheetos Popcorn Assorted is 2 for $6. Frito-Lay Canned Chips is 2 for $5. This must be the dip that's displayed on the side. Food Club Snack Classics Assorted is a 3-pack, is $2.99 per package. Food Club Pudding Snacks are 5 for $5. Go-Go Squeeze Fruit on the Go Assorted, the 12-pack, is $6.98. Down below is the bread. Tofuyan Bagels, 2 for $7 per package. Tender Crust Split Top Honey Wheat Bread 24-ounce is $1.78 per bag. True Blue Cookies, select varieties, 12 ounce. It's 2 for $5. That's a really good deal. Morton Season All, regular or less sodium, is $1.98. Pompeian Olive Oil, assorted is $6.48. Quaker Yellow Cornmeal is 24 ounces, $2.88 per package. Food Club Hamburger Deal Chips, 32 ounces, is $2.88 per jar. Captain Crunch Cereal, select group, $3.69 per pound, per box. Don Pequeño Ice Pops, 4 for $5. Food Club Long Grain Rice, white or brown, 88 cents per package. Chloraline Spray Cleaners, assorted, is $2.88 per bottle. Next is the frozen and dairy case. Activa Yogurt, assorted, a 4-pack, $2.98 per package. Frave Flavor Variety Pack Ice Cream Treats is $9.88 per package. Kraft Shredded Cheese, assorted, is $5.68 a pack. Jamba Fruit or Smoothie Blends is $3.48 per package. Donald Duck Apple or Orange Juice, assorted, is $3.38 per container. Craven Flavor Cream Pies is $6.88 each. Gold Peak Tea, assorted, is $2.38. Jose Ole Burritos or Chimichangas are 4 for $5. Craven Flavor Pizzeria Style Crust Pizzas, select variety, is $5.98. Also, Vase English Muffins, original or dough house, are $3.48 per package. Country Crock Spread is $3.38 per tub. Super Pretzel Dogs is $5.88 per package. Next come the bakery and the deli. We're available. Kretschmar Sun-Dried Tomato Turkey Breast is $6.99 per pound. Eckridge Chopped Ham is $4.19 per pound. Kretschmar Black Forest Ham is $4.99 per pound. Kretschmar Colby Cheese is $6.99 per pound. Euro Classic Ciabatta Rolls are $3.39 per package. Sweet Peas Mini Cupcakes are $6.69 per container. Nicola's Bakery Loaf Cakes are $4.99 each. The non-food items are Pain Relief, Top Care Pain Relief, which is acetaminophen, is $3.38 per bottle, 50-count tablets. Top Care Twin Blade Razors, men's, women's, or men's plus, 12-count is $1.88. Tippy Toes Wipes, assorted, 64 to 72 count is $1.88. Simply Dawn latex-free household gloves, $2.88 per pair. Now, the very last page, fresh meat. I'll get you some and get you a dinner cooked tonight. Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is $5.49 a pound. Hillshire Farm Smoked Sausage, select varieties, is $3.99 per package. Pork spare ribs, previously frozen, a two-piece, is $2.59 a pound. Boneless center-cut pork loin chops, the family pack, is $3.49 per pound. The small pack is $3.99 per pound. Dry rub seasoned chicken thighs is $1.89 a pound. Jimmy Dean sausage in select varieties is $4.99 per pound. Land of Frost deli shaved lunch meats, assorted, is $3.49 per pound. Smithfield stack pack bacon is $8.99 per pound. Ballpark meat franks, regular or bun size, are $2.19 per pound. Prime fresh lunch meat, select varieties, is $3.99 per package. John Morrell or Peyton's Meat Franks are $1.89 per package. Smithfield Anytime Smoked Pork Chops are $7.99 per package. John Morrell Assorted Sausage, Smoked Sausage, is $1.98 per pound. John Morrell Braunschweiger, another type of sausage, is $3.69. Peyton's Beef or Pork Churroso is $3.29. Curly's Original or Spicy Pulled Pork, $5.99. Foster Farms Assorted Corn Dogs, $7.49. Carano Meatballs, $6.69. Tyson's Assorted Fully Cooked Breaded Chicken, $8.99. Ballpark Fully Cooked Beef Patties, $7.99. Nathan's Pretzel Dogs, $8.99. La Casanera Pork Neck Bones, 2-pound package is $3.99. See Best Breaded Butterfly Shrimp are $8.99. Sea Best Swahili Fillets, 2-pound package, is $11.99. Chicken of the Sea Uncooked Shrimp, 1 pound, is $8.49. Now for the fresh produce. Hot House Bell Peppers, red, orange, or yellow, $0.99 each. Tropical Kiwi Fruit, 2 for $1. Fresh coconut is $1.99 each. Make Your Own Salsa Kit is a $2.99 per package. Jumbo Sweet Red Onions, $1.29 per pound. Crisp Celery is $1.59 each. Fresh Broccoli Crowns is $1.99 per pound. Sweet Potatoes, U.S. number one sweet potatoes, $0.99 per pound. Acorn Butternut or Spaghetti Squash is $1.29 per pound. Red or green cabbage, $0.69 per pound. Yucca Root is $1.49 per pound. And the School Days Bouquet is $5.99 per package. In the bakery, there are fresh baked banana nut muffins for 4-count packages at $3.99. The fresh made Bolio rolls, 6-count packages, $1.99. In the deli, fresh made chicken strips, a 3-piece package, is $2.99. From the deli, pico de gallo in a pint is $4.99. Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, and other flavors too. A 24-pack cube is $8.99. Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, and flavors too. 2-liter bottles are 3 for $5. Rockstar energy drinks are 4 for $5. Coca-Cola, Sprite, and other flavors too. 3-liter bottles are 2 for $5. Dasani water is $2 for $9. And Gold Peak tea, there's a variety pack, and it's $5.99 for the pack. Bud Light, Coors Light, or Miller Light, a 12-pack cube, is $13.99. Michelob Ultra, an 18-pack of 12-ounce cans, is $20.99. Corona, or Corona Premier, is a 12-pack for $15.99. The Modelo Especial, a 12-pack of 12-ounce cans, is $14.99. Natural Light or Busch Light, an 8-pack of 16-ounce cans, is $7.99. Bud Light Lime, a 12-pack with 12-ounce cans, is $14.99. Barefoot Wine, select varieties, is $10.99. 19 Crimes Wine, select varieties, is $12.99. Lone River Ranch Water, 12-pack with 12-ounce cans, is $15.99.
Triple-digit high temperatures return by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. The 100-degree high temperatures are back, The National Weather Service reported Tuesday that 100-degree high temperatures are in the forecast Wednesday, 102 degrees, Thursday, 103, Friday, 102, and Sunday, 100. It is a return to hotter weather from the 93 degrees, which is below normal for August 13th on Tuesday. The cooler weather did not bring precipitation, and the National Weather Service is calling for dry conditions through at least August 22nd, when there is a chance of isolated thunderstorms. Tuesday's report, Tuesday's high, 93 degrees. Tuesday high for August 15th, 95 degrees. Monday's low, 72 degrees. Typical low for August 15th, 72 degrees. Previous record high for August 15th, 105, set in 2020. Last 3 days, Sunday, 102. Monday, 96 degrees. Tuesday, 93 degrees. Next 3 days, Wednesday, 102 degrees. Thursday, 103 degrees. And Friday, 102 degrees. Source, National Weather Service. Norma Jeanette Sagert Sanger, 88, of Midland, passed away on Friday, August 11th. Norma was born in Lincoln, Texas, and graduated from high school in Lexington, Texas. The family will receive friends from 6 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday, August 16th at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel at 2508 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas. A service of celebration of life and witness to the resurrection will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. on August 17th at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. The committal will immediately follow at Fairview Cemetery at 1620 North A Street, Midland. Reverend Dr. Diane M. Baldwin will be officiating the services. Funeral services are under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences can be made and emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh. Betty Jo Ryan, 98, of Midland, passed away Tuesday, August 8, 2023. Graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. Thursday, August 17, 2023, at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Faye Sanford, 81, of Midland, passed away August 13, 2023. The family will hold her service in Dallas at a later date. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Home and Crematory. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Patsy Ruth Cantrell Walker, 76, of Midland, met her Savior face-to-face on Wednesday, August 9, 2023. She was surrounded by her loving family. In lieu of flower, wait. The family will receive friends from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Friday, August 18, 2023, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, August 19, 2023, at Calview Heights Baptist Church Chapel. Graveside services will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the Missions Ministry of Calview Heights Baptist Church or to the Alzheimer's Association. Arrangements are made under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com.
Texas House Committee report outlines possible path forward for school vouchers. With an expected special lawmaking session on public education on the horizon, a Texas House Committee on Friday proposed a path forward to reach a compromise on school vouchers, one of the most polarizing issues the Texas legislature debated this year. The 15-member committee, composed of Republican and Democratic lawmakers, released a report that also made a number of recommendations on school finance, the teacher workforce, and student outcomes. The committee didn't endorse outright the legislature passing a school voucher program, which would let parents use taxpayer money to send their kids to private schools. But if lawmakers were to approve such a program, the report said, it should be smaller in scale than the one proposed during this year's regular legislative session and prioritize high-need students. The committee also recommended that any voucher program approved by the legislature should use money that is separate from the public education budget and be held accountable to taxpayers. The report is a first glimpse at what might be the terms the House requires in order to get the chamber's approval on a voucher program. House Democrats and rural Republicans, who have previously banded together against proposals they believe might hurt the state's public education system, blocked vouchers during the regular session. It remains to be seen whether the full House would agree with the committee's recommendations for a more constrained voucher program, and whether the Senate, which wanted a broader program during the regular season, would sign off on a scaled-back version. Governor Greg Abbott has also said he prefers a more universal program and previously threatened to veto any diluted version. The committee also recommended that lawmakers look into expanding educational choices that already exist within the state's public education system, such as STEM academies, career and technical education, and early college high schools. Committee Vice Chair Representative Barbara Gervin Hawkins, a Democrat from San Antonio, wrote that a school voucher program should include a sunset date to allow the legislature to review its performance and decide whether it's worth continuing. Without accountability, the legislature is left without informational tools to monitor students' progress, Gervin Hawkins wrote. Representative Gina Hinosa, Democrat from Austin, was the only committee member who didn't add her signature to the report, writing that some of its recommendations would hurt public schools and instead included her own suggestions for giving public schools more funding for teacher pay and special education programs. Representative Howard Dutton, Democrat from Houston, signed the report but wrote that he did not agree with creating any kind of voucher program. Representative Gary Van Dever, Republican from New Boston, wrote that the public education system already offers a plethora of choices for parents and students, and worried that school vouchers would open the door for public dollars to go to private institutions without any plans to ensure transparency or accountability. As we go forward, we cannot ignore either the right of parents to decide what is best for their children, nor our constitutional mandate of maintaining public free schools, Van Dever wrote. I look forward to a thorough debate and honest discussions. House Speaker Dade Phelan created the committee in June to look into educational opportunities for Texas school children ahead of an expected special session to revisit the discussion on vouchers. The committee was announced at a time when both Abbott, who has made vouchers one of his top priorities this year, and Phelan, who was mostly noncommittal on vouchers during the regular session, found rare common ground on property tax cuts. The committee's report comes months after the regular session ended in a stalemate between the House and Senate over education savings accounts, a voucher-like program that would allow parents access to a state-mandated account to pay for private school tuition and other educational expenses. Lawmakers in the House wanted nothing to do with them, while the Senate tried every tactic to pass a voucher-like program, even tacking it on to the only school finance bill the House advanced during the session. The lower chamber did not accept the Senate's change, and the session ended with neither a voucher-like program nor any new money for schools to pay for teacher raises and combat rising inflation. The committee report recommended that the legislature raise the basic allotment, which is the base amount of money that school districts receive per student. Raising the allotment was a priority for cash-strapped schools going into the regular session. The committee said raising the basic allotment will contribute to student achievement and let schools give raises to teachers who were the only state employees not to receive a raise during the regular session. The committee also recommended expanding the teacher incentive allotment, a program that promises to pay teachers up to six-figure salaries if they meet certain performance requirements. It also recommends free pre-K for teachers' children. In addition, it included recommendations to fund and establish teacher residency programs in which aspiring teachers are paired up with a teacher for a school year. Some school districts are already seeing success with such programs, although they've had to get creative on how to fund them without new funding from the state. The report highlighted that about 1 in 3 teachers taught last year with no certification. To make the profession more accessible, the report recommended waiving certification costs for those wanting to be bilingual and special education teachers and waiving certification costs for first-time teacher applicants. The committee also recommended eliminating a charge school districts would incur if they hire retired teachers. It recommended that lawmakers consider passing a policy that allows for rapid intervention when students show low proficiency in any school subject and provide schools with tools to monitor students' literacy development. Most of these recommendations were previously made by a teacher vacancy task force put together by Abbott earlier this year. Lawmakers were ready to make some of these changes with several bills during the regular session, but they also fell apart amid the debate over school vouchers.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.